This week on Unbox, I'm speaking with Callum Carver, who is a modern entrepreneur in the most perfect sense.
I was 19 at that point, and that's when I hit £20,000 per month.
What was the first great month that you had?
My first, like, amazing month was you have the controller of your own life, right? If you're not accountable for it, someone else is playing your life.
What is the biggest problem with Gen Z?
I think the biggest problem is...
What do you think are the most high-value skills? What is the one message that you want to give to young people?
I want that the young person to watch this to understand that...
So if you're in need of motivation and inspiration to set up your business and get started, this is an episode for you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Callum, thank you very much for coming on Unbox.
Of course. So, my pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, so firstly, who are you? To anyone who doesn't know, so, who is Callum Carver?
My name's Callum. I'm 20 years old. And I'll give you sort of like a backstory. I grew up in the south of the UK, sort of like a working class family. If I was going to describe myself, it would probably be I've had the most like average upbringing possible. There was no like traumatic event or anything, which is what a lot of people expect. I feel like I was good at stuff, but I was great at nothing. Sort of worked my way through school, college, and then at the end of college is when everything sort of had a pivot. Now I make content on social media. I run an agency and I'm at the moment building a company called The Kaizen. And yeah, that's sort of me in a nutshell.
So for your generation now, so it's super interesting, right? Is like the whole hustle culture, like I need to make money, I can make money online, I can get out the trap of all this. Is that a big thing because of like TikTok and social?
I can't really remember social media before TikTok now. It's sort of become everything. But I do remember it where you're like all, anything you consume is YouTube. That's what you consume. And TikTok, because it is so fast-paced and because there's so much out there and you can just scroll and you can see someone in Dubai driving a Lamborghini, you can scroll, you can see someone in America in the woods. There's so many different perspectives of different lives. I would say social media, TikTok especially, makes you confused on what you want yourself because you want different attributes of different lifestyles and therefore you actually have no direction of what to go. And I felt that as well when I sort of like the decision of what to do, I felt a bit lost because I would love to live in the woods, be peaceful. Like life is amazing, but I would love to be in Dubai.
Lamborghini.
Driving around a Lamborghini.
You know, you're faced with uni, apprenticeships, I guess going into a normal job.
Yeah.
But then you choose to basically become a digital modern entrepreneur.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So it was the end of college, sort of like the decision to go to uni. And at the time, I saw all this stuff on TikTok of making money online, like everyone does. And I found, I think the thing that came up the most to me was this idea of affiliate marketing. And it like people portray these business models in so many different ways. For me, affiliate marketing was, here's how you can make money without having your own product. And I was like, oh my God, I'll do that. And it was just like post content, get people to sign up for your link and then purchase and then you get the money. And I started doing that. I started making content purely for the idea of, I'm going to talk about this course. It was like a $7 business builder course that I was promoting. So I literally got $2 a piece, which is like a quid and something. And I started making content around it, like investing, finance, because at the time as well, I found Rich Dad Poor Dad, which I'm sure you know what it is, in my my dad's office. And I was like, this is amazing. I read the book, started posting content about finance and like long-term investing and this kind of thing. And over time started pushing this business builder course. Affiliate marketing, anyway, to cut long story short, I started making money from it. It was very small money at the start, but the way the course goes is that if someone starts the course and they go through it, the course then tries to upsell the person and then you get a cut of that as well. So you could make, at the end of the day, like a grand, like one payment if someone went through them. Got upsold essentially, and it was okay. It more just gave me...
When you said like not a lot of money, what kind of figures are we talking?
So I think at the end of my like affiliate marketing career, which lasted probably about 4 months, I probably made about £3,000, which for me again was insane because at the time I was working like I think it was 8 hours a week at like a furniture shop, so it was like £200 a month, just because it was like my parents were like, you've got to get a job, that kind of thing. So the money was definitely shocking. It was more of like a new perspective of you can do this. And I remember one time, the first big payment I got was in photography when I was at college. And I pulled out my phone, got an email, and it was like, $1,000 has been deposited into your account. My friends like left and right of me go like mental. No one believes it, of course. But that was like the first like realization of like, this is something I can pursue. Luckily, I kind of adapted from affiliate marketing and then went, I understand social media, I understand how it works, and I became like a freelancer. So I'd go on Upwork, list my skills, actually went to local restaurants in my area, like went in with a laminated like piece of paper that had my packages of social media. This was like such like mundane stuff because it's like posting on Instagram, creating videos and stuff like that, but it worked. I went in, I would like put a suit on and kind of present myself as this like social media expert. And there was like a company in Dubai, like a fashion brand. There was like a crypto company in like Sweden or something that look took me on. These retainers weren't big, but £500 retainers, four or five of them stacking up, it makes
it's like more a than huge a full time job, right?
It was more than a full time job, and it worked really well. But it was quite short lived because I was still quite unexperienced. All I could do is post on social media. There was, I didn't know much strategy or like the algorithm or anything. So this kind of like this streak of everything going well probably lasted about like 4 months, but in total I probably had like a few months where I made like £5,000, which again is huge. And then it kind of ended like quite abruptly. I lost all my clients like in a week. It was like one by one by one.
Really?
So I went into a business. So essentially I was, when posting on social media, you get brand deals and stuff like that, and I was working with this brand that was like a crypto company, and the founder was like a lovely guy, and he kind of like, I would say mentored me in a way, but he was quite one-on-one with me. He would message me and this kind of thing, because I would help them with social media in terms of like strategy and stuff, because they were trying to target young people and I was like the ideal sort of person for them. So I would help them and he would kind of give me ideas on how, what different things I can do. And at one point I went to him, and this was very shortly after all my social media management clients kind of died off. I went to him and I said, what service do you need that I can provide for you? And he basically said, I need like a network of influencers like yourself that I can kind of click my fingers and all videos can be posted about my brand. And that's when I kind of came up with the idea of, I called it social media influencer pooling, which is essentially having a network of influencers, reaching out to brands and saying, I have this network of influencers. If you want, we can essentially promote your products. And that was the kind of idea. It's very similar to influencer marketing in general, but it's just kind of done in a different way, that you present it in a different way, and it can be done, I feel, easier from a beginner standpoint, because if you're in fitness, you reach out to a bunch of fitness influencers with like a no loss deal and say, hey, I'm going to reach out to brands on your behalf. If I get one, are you down to do the deal?
Yeah.
Depending on, of course, the deal. And then if they say yes, you kind of like add them to your network, and then you can go to brands and say, this person is like very likely to post a video about you if everything suits. And then that's, I scaled that agency quite well. I then started making content about it, and then thought, like, I made a whole separate TikTok account about it, and I got so much hype around it. I did like the next logical thing, which was make a Discord about it, and then went into teaching this whole kind of business. But yeah, it all worked out.
Do you think that was the turning point for you, actually going from doing it yourself to helping others to do it for them, for themselves?
I feel like, I mean, it definitely happened quicker than I would have probably liked it to, because I was still learning the business myself. But I sort of saw like an opportunity in front of me, and I thought, I can just keep making content about this and produce no kind of resource, or I produce some kind of resource. And I'm glad I did at the time, because it was when other people started to make content about social media influencer pooling.
Oh, really?
Basically saying, hey,
off the back, off the back of yours.
Off the back, basically saying that they started it themselves. And I had like this war with a few people
where
they were starting it, and people thought they were the creator. And they were doing the completely wrong business model, but they were calling it what I called it. And I was like, I've got to put a resource out. And I remember I was actually on holiday at the time when everything kind of blew up, so I couldn't put my head down, like focus and get one out. So I kind of ruined that holiday, because I did end up just putting my head down and like not going out to the beach and stuff like that. But of course, it was well worth it.
For me, my observation being in this space for 7-8 years now, where everything is moving is towards what you're talking about now in terms of influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. As we know, big brands are no longer spending huge sums with big creators. Mm-hmm. What they're doing more and more frequently is spending smaller sums with loads.
Yeah.
Because now there's so many creators out there, so many people who can make a video go viral, that the scarcity of virality is kind of gone. Anyone can go viral, really, with the right engineering around it. And what does this look like commercially for you? What was the first great month that you had?
So the first great month, I would say, and this was kind of like a mix between the teaching and the agency, because like I said, I started teaching it quite quickly as the agency was growing. And I had probably my first like amazing month was, I want to say like £12,000. And that, like, it still feels shocking to me today, but it, just because it came very, very quickly, because it was when I launched a Discord and there was loads of hype around it and the agency was growing and brands were actually coming to me because I was talking about it on social media and they were like, this is quite a good idea. Have you got a network in this space? And therefore everything kind of like combined together. I think I want to say that was probably in September of last year, and then come round, it was probably November, I want to say. Or actually, it was probably August when I hit that month. And then September is when it continued. And that's when I decided, I was like, I want to move out. I was like, I've got this money, I want to move out. Which I think was a good decision at the end of the day, because it kind of put me in that position where now I'm in control of my own bills. I have to pay rent on something, therefore I have to keep this going. And then I made a post on my Instagram, I think it was probably November or December last year, where I was like, stuff's really changed. And that's when I hit £20,000 per month with everything kind of combined. And since then, it's kind of just been moving in different directions. But I'm like sort of working on different things now and stuff like that. But that was definitely the turning point.
And you're how old at that point?
I was 19 at that point.
What do you do with that? Like, how do you manage that? How do you, so if somebody's out there, right, and they are young and they follow what you're doing and they're inspired, they want to make their own business, they start realizing, well, if I break out of my salary job, if I take a leap, if I find a value proposition that's clear and I sell that and I make content around it, which is so important, then I can be getting real life-changing sums of money. So how do you manage that psychologically, but also as a business owner?
I think I'll start with psychologically. Psychologically, it is a huge shock and it doesn't feel real. I mean, even when you are making that amount of money, you would know as well, it goes into a business account, right? And I was quite good at kind of...
You didn't spend it all.
I didn't spend it all at all. I was quite good at putting it to the side and thinking, that's the business's money. I don't have any. And I continued to pay myself like a PAYE basic salary of like £12,000 a year until I actually needed the money, because at the time I was living with my parents, so I didn't need anything. And psychologically, it's a massive hit. I think it's some effort that takes to keep your ego in check. And I think that's just a natural thing, because I want to go around and every single of my videos saying, oh, I'm 19, I make 20K per month. But I kind of think long term, I'm like, that is like the douchiest thing someone can do. I was quite good at keeping that in check. And I just talked about it when it was relevant. And then physically, how it changed me, not too much. I didn't spend it. I mean, I say that I then bought my dream car, so I did spend it. But that was sort of like after... like 3 or 4 months of it, you know, being good. And that's what I was like, okay, cool, I can do this.
When you have a business structure and a setup that allows you to make as much money as you want, essentially, you can always grow this.
Yeah.
There's no ceiling. Having the mindset of make more rather than be so frugal and protective about everything you have to the point where you hoard it all and you never spend anything, I think that's a wise thing as well. Has that inspired you to make more money, the fact that you are actually, you know, you're not hoarding it, you're not keeping it in a cupboard?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's when you start to buy purchases that change your life dramatically. I'm not talking about the new phone, like moving out. That was obviously the biggest step. And the fact that I could move out into an apartment that I genuinely liked, it wasn't like an old beat down one. It was like one that I was very proud of. It does give you that kind of motivational boost. I guess there's also a kind of a requirement where you're now responsible for a lot of things, but it's also that motivational boost for, imagine if I like doubled this, or, you know, I mean, I could have bought a much nicer apartment, but I still kind of kept it sensible because I started off my kind of journey reading Rich Dad Poor Dad and going through all the finance books and actually understanding how to be smart with your money. I'm so grateful for that, because it could have been very easy for me to miss the books, skip the books, go straight into affiliate marketing,
spend all the money in your business account, and then HMRC give you a very scary letter in April.
Yeah.
I want to spend the next few minutes talking to other young people like yourself.
Yeah.
When you first started out, I think your generation now are more inspired by entrepreneurship, I think, than ever. There's more of a desire to break out of the rat race, the matrix, the trap of, you know, the kind of treadmill of life which we're fed, right? What do you think? If I'm 18 and I want to have what you've got, I want to start my own business, I want to break out, what would be the first step?
So the first step, it's a good question, because I've been talking a lot more about this recently, because all these business models and stuff like that, start Amazon FBA, start this, start that. I think it is very intimidating for your beginner who just wants to break out and try something themselves. So I've been talking a lot more about this recently, and that is the idea of just working on your skills. And the way I kind of see it is that when someone says start Amazon FBA, that's a good skill to have. I kind of break it down and say Amazon FBA isn't a skill, or let's start with like social media marketing, because I know it a bit better. It isn't a skill. It is copywriting. It is sales. It is people management, project management, all kind of built together. So if you do want to start this idea of making money online, start with skills, start with the basic skills. I'll typically say start with one that you have and see how you can refine it, and then work on kind of building, like stacking skills on top of it. And it's a very vague thing to say, so I'll try and like be a bit more specific. But let's say your skill is illustration, right? You're really good at drawing. You love drawing. You've been drawing all your life. That is a skill in itself, and you can refine it, keep on improving on it, but it's not going to make you any money until you stack it with another one that has monetizable value. And the way I kind of see it is that you could stack that skill with sales, for example. You productize yourself. I think that's the right way to say it. And you essentially learn how to sell your skills. So you match it with sales, learn the skill of sales, and now you can sell illustration. And again, it's quite vague because it depends on your skills, but I really think honing in on your skills and like consuming as much content around different skills and stuff like this as possible and matching it with ones that kind of benefit it and complement it is huge. With myself, I had social media as a skill. I understood it quite well. matching that of content creation to then create like this influencer pooling stuff helped me so much. And I had to learn content creation by myself, but it's kind of matching relevant skills that kind of complement each other. It's called skill stacking. I'm sure people have heard of that. That's what I would say start on, because it takes away the intimidation of starting this whole new business model. It just focuses on, listen, pick one skill and consume as much content as you can. And if your skill, you want it to be sales, there is endless YouTube videos, there's endless Skillshare courses, Udemy courses, all this kind of stuff on that. And if you just spent like a bit of money on learning it, but a lot of time on learning it, you can become very honed in on that skill. And I think the reason people don't do that, although it's quite obvious to do, is because it isn't instant. It is quite an idea of like, you have to do it. You have to do it for a long period of time before you can end up selling it or monetizing it. But once you do, that can be there. It's like creating the foundation and then you can build stuff on top of it. A good example, I think Alex Hormozy uses for like Jay-Z, is that his first skill was like writing songs. And then he went into rapping and then producing and then doing this and creating a label and stuff like that. He just stacked skills on top of each other, which made him who he is. But if you break it down and kind of like reverse engineer it, it starts off with one thing that you're good at. And then you think, how can I actually make this make me money? Or I can add this to it. That's what I would say to like my previous self that was like, where do I start? Just start off with a skill that you're somewhat good at, you somewhat understand, and then figure out how to kind of add value to it. Because the whole premise of making money online, regardless if it's Amazon, FBA, social media marketing, is providing value to people's lives. So skill that solves a problem, and then keep on evolving and updating, upgrading that skill, and money will kind of come to you simply because you're doing the skill, if that makes sense.
And you're adding value, which is the number one thing.
Adding value. Yeah. And it sounds so vague, and I hate
it.
It's
great.
Because
it's
difficult. Even if I younger me heard it, I would be like, what do you mean, what skill? Like, what do I start? So it does take a bit of kind of like self-research, understanding yourself, but as long as you know that's the basics, everything is built through skills, I think you'll be okay. You kind of find your own way.
I can agree more. I mean, I think one thing that I'm quite big on now thinking about is also how early we start, because I think we wait so late. And in this day and age, when distribution is accessible to everyone, when you have a phone from when you're 13, 14 years old, probably even younger now, you know, you're growing up natively using the internet, and there's endless opportunity as a result of that. Why do we waste our time at school?
Yeah,
I look at school, I see the greatest opportunity, a missed opportunity for so many people who waste it messing around, obviously doing things you do when you're young. And yes, people will mess around when they're young, but what an opportunity to start projects, to at least test things, to try to put content out there, to try and make money, to make things happen, because you have no real responsibility. You don't have kids, you don't have a wife, you don't have a house, you don't have a mortgage, you don't have any of these things that come stacking onto you very quickly. And when people go to uni is their first move, and university is a move that costs £9,000 a year, you're immediately coming out on the back foot. Whereas actually, if people didn't do that, but they spent some years in school or in sixth form or in college, I'll say, at least trying when they haven't got these responsibilities, I think people would be so much further ahead.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's something that, I don't know who said it, but it was so true, that you kind of have a more opportunity than the big business owner, because you can try so much different things, so many different things, throw so much shit at the wall to see what sticks. And then when
who cares if it fails? No one's watching. Whatever happens. And also, I think interestingly, the reputational risk that you have once you start the working world is so much higher, right?
Yeah,
I look at someone like, I don't know, some of the streamers, Kai, Speed, two good examples, right? Even many of the streamers, most YouTubers even, they started off when they were young at a point in their lives where they didn't have a job that they needed to worry about what they were saying. They didn't need to really care what people think. You very quickly care what people think once you're judged in a working world and you have a job, you have uni, you have to go through the ringer of society as an adult. But when you're young, it doesn't matter. You have no boundaries, really, other than what you set yourself in terms of what you can do, what you can say, etc. So I think it's such a missed opportunity, man.
No, I completely agree. I want the young person to watch this to understand that you're allowed to fail. Even if you failed for 5 years, you would learn so much more from that failure, as per if you went to uni, you went down the route of getting an apprenticeship or something. I mean, they're not bad choices, depending on what you want to do. But I have friends that when I decided not to go to university, they went and studied marketing at university. I taught myself marketing, then created an agency out of it, and they dropped out of university. And now they're working like a labour job, right?
We're trying to come work for your agency. And
it's difficult, because being a young person, I try and always see it from a perspective. If I was watching this podcast, what would I think? I think, I don't want to fail. Like, I have mates that will make the fun, like take the piss out of me. And you just got to sort of think, the mates that will, you know, take the piss out of you but still be there afterwards are the ones that you want to keep with you. And the ones that will just constantly take the mick, they're not your mates at the end of the day. You want people to be around you that want the best for you at the end of the day. So just keep failing, keep learning from that failure, and then proceed forwards. Because, you know, if you fail, there's something comes out of it, at least. Whether it's not like a clear sign to do that thing more or pivot, at least it's something as per to just like letting life drag you along down the road at university and stuff like that. And
what are your views on university?
I was going to say, a lot of people get angry at me when I kind of slate university because it's hard, because I've never been there. So it's hard from a perspective of not doing it. And I remember in my photography class, it was probably like a week after I got the payment as well. So I was feeling like big in my boots, and my photography student was talking about university, and I was talking to my friend about it, and I was like, what's the point? And then she obviously overheard me, and she was like, well, what, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, you're paying so much money. And she was like, yeah, but you can pay that off. You know, there's a student loan repayment scheme and stuff like that. And it came to the conversation where it's like, if you, I can't remember how much it is, but if you earn under a certain amount, then you have to pay it. And I was like, so you are happy earning under like £26,000 a year?
Yeah, 25 grand a year.
Yeah, for like, I think it's 30 years or something. I'm like, are you happy with doing that? And she's like, well, some people are, some people aren't. I'm like, I'm not those people. And it's like, if you have ambition to do something with your life, if you want to be, and there's more opportunity than ever now, by the way, but if you have ambition to do something with your life, then is the time to do it. Not university, because there is a ceiling on top of you, right, in terms of money, in terms of opportunity and stuff like that. Skillshare, treat that as university. Pay £5,000 towards Skillshare courses, and I bet my life on it you'd learn more than you would at university.
And the ROI will be infinitely higher.
Exactly that.
But also, you don't even need to pay to learn anymore.
No.
Everything's free. Mm-hmm. YouTube is free. TikTok. How much have you learned from just watching? How much have I learned on a personal level from watching TikToks, from watching YouTube videos? I mean, you could literally learn. There's no excuse for not learning. And I completely get it. Personalities will dictate how people move. Yep. If people are slightly more introverted, that they don't have a lot of confidence, or if factors in their lives, you know, push them in certain ways. And of course, not everybody has the security of having a family who, you 100%. Know, puts a roof over their head and everything else, right? All those sort of secure building, we're talking about building blocks before even getting into skills, the kind of life building blocks, right? But that still doesn't make university the answer. Mm-hmm. It still does not make it the answer. For the majority of people, I think it's a complete waste of time.
I think people have this bad kind of mantra around like learning as well, because if I would say just like teach yourself skills, they think college, university, I don't want to do that. I don't do that at all. But it's like a whole different level of teaching or different kind of like concept of it. You are like leveling yourself up. If you picture yourself as like a character in a video game, for each skill you acquire, like you're level 2, level 3, level 4, and the more levels or higher level you get, the more opportunity you have, more doors you can unlock. That's the way to kind of see it if you think learning. No way. You're not learning like subjects that you are forced into, because at university, there's blocks, right? You can do maths, you can do English, obviously, different ones, but when it comes to learning, you can learn what you want to learn. You can learn what you're interested in and like excel those skills, open more
and
doors.
And what you're good at, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
100%. What do you think are the most high value skills today? If you had to pick three, if anyone's out there and saying, right, I want to learn a skill,
yeah,
I want to build my blocks, yeah, I want to start making money. What are the three most high value skills?
I would say content is definitely one of them. Just because, well, for myself, I speak from experience, content has opened so many doors for me. Every kind of business or idea that I've come up with or that I'm working on has sprouted from my personal brand. You know, if I'm building up the personal brand around entrepreneurship, self-development, this kind of idea, I would launch a business or an idea off of that. Like my personal brand is kind of my core, and then the agency comes off it, the social media management comes off it, the Kaizen comes off it, but it is still there. That's what I grow on. And if all else fails, I can continue with the content. So learn how to make content or build a personal brand. I would say that's a skill, which of course could be broken down into like editing. It could be broken down to like scripting, recording, but just start the process of doing it. Ignore like what your mates say, because your video will get chucked in a group chat. It will. You will get the piss taken out of you, but that's kind of part of the process. I would say that's definitely skill one. Skill two is, I would say, it's a weird one. I would say becoming better with people. Now, I'm a huge like fan of psychology, and I did psychology in for my A-level, and that's the one thing I would kind of credit to it. Understanding psychology is huge, understanding people, because obviously the world's run by people, everything is controlled by people. So just understanding how people work is massive, and you can read like 3 books on it. Like Surrounded by Idiots is a really good book, How to Influence and Influence People, a Robert Greene book, like Laws of Human Nature or something, fantastic. You just understand why people's minds think the way they do and how to get on like the right side of them and stuff. And if you are working in anything to do with people, that it's not robots, then you're going to need people's skills. So I would say that's skill number two. I would say like solving problems, it's less of a skill, but being a problem solver, so yeah, looking for ways solutions to solve problems, exactly. It is huge. A lot of things, a thing that people don't realize is that every single business in the world is made to solve a problem, whether it's an agency made to solve the problem of companies needing more marketing or needing their products out there. Every business is made to solve a problem. So if you can kind of be the person that picks out problems and goes, that a solution is needed for that, and just having that mindset wherever you go. And that's where the best businesses come out of.
Agreed.
Solving your own past problems.
And I think a way to frame that, I kind of prefer more than problem solving, is value adding, right? And it's what you were saying before. It's like, how can you see opportunities to add value to every everything from a business perspective, I think that will change your whole mindset. Yeah, yeah, if you can look at any room and be like, right, well, that can be better, that can be better, that can improve the efficiency, can up by 10%, whatever it might be, then you'll never not be able to make money in your life.
And one thing will come around that sticks. It will be like, that could be improved. Yeah. Actually, that can be improved. I can do something with that.
And my skills added to the opportunity to add value create a moment for you to then make money.
And then the snowball starts rolling.
One last question. Yeah. And then I want to get into this game. So what is the biggest problem with Gen Z?
I think the biggest problem, based on what I've seen and the things that I had to overcome, is the lack of accountability that people take. I think people are so quick to point the finger and say, I'm in this position because of this person. And I know because people comment on my videos about it. Now, a lot of when I talk about myself or achieving something, the first comment I'll get is, yeah, but you're white and you grew up in a working class family, so whoop-de-doo for you. And I'm like, I completely understand that. But if you are pointing your finger and saying, this is the reason I'm not where I am, then you're not in control of the solution. If you say, I am where I am, and it's not necessarily my fault, but I'm accountable for where I am, you are in control of the next step. And some people are dealt like the shittiest hand of cards, right? That like it's not fair for anybody. But there are people that come from rock bottom to the top, and that's where these success stories come from. So if you think you have no chance, look at other people that have done it before and just know that it's the first step is taking accountability for where you are and being like, okay, cool. I don't like where I am, but I'm where I am because of the decisions I made or decisions, how I reacted to decisions that were made for me. I'm in control of the next step. And when you become accountable, I feel like you have more control over decisions. You are in control of the next step. You have the controller of your own life, right? If you're not accountable for it, someone else is playing your life. Be accountable for everything, regardless if it's your decision or not, your mistake or not. And just being where you are and being like, okay, cool, I'm here. May not be my fault, but let's do something about it is a pretty sort of powerful mindset.
Let's get into the game. We have a box. Yeah. In the box, a bunch of cards. Can you pick out a card, read what's on it, and then tell me what comes to your mind.
This is a card with an Instagram post I made. It was the post I made 43 weeks ago where I said, past month, shit really changed. And that's what I was talking to you about when I said, I've broken my milestone of hitting 20K per month. I've moved out to my family home into an apartment. I've grown my Insta 60K in a matter of 5 days. I now mentor and teach well over 410 people how to start an online business. I say it's surreal that this is happening at 19 years old, but I will stay humble with the pure purpose of teaching others how I've done what I have. Thank you all. This was definitely the moment where a lot of stuff hit because I looked at a list of stuff that I achieved rather than just being like, oh, I made like £2,000 today. That's mental. I could look at a list of stuff that I achieved and it was kind of like stacked together. And I feel like when you are in this space and you're moving so quickly, it's hard to kind of sit back and go, like, compared to where I was a year ago, I'm doing so good. And I think this was a point that hit me. So I made a post about it to inspire other people. And then the photo is books that I read. I always try and do like posts. I try and do about me and a little bit of value at the end in case someone wants to scroll to the end. But yeah, that's what this is about. And this is like a very surreal moment, one I'm very, very proud of.
Love it. How'd you get 60K in 5 weeks?
It's grown so much more than that. 60K was whilst it was growing. It grew. Right. It was 5 days.
Five weeks.
It grew 5 days. To like 130K in a week. I don't know why. I think it was one reel took off and then 5-6 reels continuously took off. And they were like very good. There was no like secret to it. I just got lucky. It was TikTok videos that I reposted to Instagram. So it was nothing special, but it was just they all hit the right spot. And once one does well, the others tend to follow a similar pattern as long as they're good. So that's why. This is just a photo of Iman Gadzi. I think he's a massive inspiration to a lot of young people. Entirely just because he has documented his journey from the very start. And a lot of the things that I say to people is that when you're deciding what life you want to live, but you don't know what you want to do with your life, look at people that have a life that you want to live and look how you can reverse engineer their journey. And Iman Gadzi is a prime example of that because he has recorded his video from when he was like, I don't know his exact story that well, but from the very, very bottom. And he recorded video after video after video as he scaled up. So if you want to know how he got to where he got, instead of him making a video about it, spend months going through his videos and reverse engineering, go backwards and backwards and backwards to see how he got to where he got, because he documents all of it. His journey is very transparent. I think it's something for a lot of young people to look up to, just because it's all out there. So
great. Yeah,
the GOAT.
Great. Next one.
This is a piece of paper that says, those who set actionable tasks for their goals and initiate weekly progress reporting to their supportive peers tend to achieve 40% more than those who did not. So this is, I mean, goal setting is a huge thing. I think a lot of people, they don't do because they don't believe in the kind of wishy-washy around it. And I had the same thing. It's like, if I write something down on a piece of paper, it's not going to make me achieve it. It's in line with this idea of manifesting. But I think it, I don't know if it does so much to your brain, but I think having the idea of setting your goals there and looking at them daily, or just like putting it in the back of your head, yeah, that's what I want to achieve, is huge. And there's studies that prove it. So I think it's foolish not to take advantage of it. Whenever I get overwhelmed, I'm like, shit, so much is going on, I don't know what to do. Get a piece of paper, write it down, put like step. And it will help a lot, because you can kind of break it down. You'll be like, cool, let's just focus on step one. It's kind of like the idea of breaking your life down into 5-minute steps. If you're like, I don't know what to do, break it down. What can you do in the next 5 minutes that's going to get you one step closer to your goal? And that's the idea of writing stuff down, which is, huge. It helped me a lot as well.
Yeah, because I, on a personal level, I kind of hate manifesting and all that sort of stuff, right? Because I just think it's... But what I do like, obviously, is strategy and planning. Yeah. And there's no way that you reinforcing focus will not help you to be more focused and to get what you want to get. Mm-hmm.
And the last one is Kaizen, the cycle for continuous improvement. Now, this one word, Kaizen, has changed my life a lot, so much that I started a business called The Kaizen. And this is a kind of a principle that I think it will help so many people. It's just the idea of improving a tiny bit every single day. I think The Kaizen, if I'm saying it correctly, Kai stands for continuous, and then Zen stands for improvement, or something along those lines. And I made a business out of it just because I thought this is something, or the name is The Kaizen, around the idea of trying to help young entrepreneurs become their best self, start businesses and this kind of thing. And The Kaizen has meant a lot. I mean, I even got it tattooed on me. That's the logo for The Kaizen. Whenever I look at it, it's just that idea of continuous improvement. It's not that you have to scale mountains every single day. It's that you have to take one step.
Marginal gains.
Exactly that.
It's all about marginal gains. I love it. Having done what you've done, having achieved what you continue to achieve, and been in such an, you know, such an inspiration, I think, to so many young people out there. What is the one message that you want to give to young people maybe listening to this today?
A lot of people will have these ideas of the life they want to live, and they'll have like the goals set for them and stuff like that, but a lot of the time they'll lack in action. They lack in the action they take. And it's the same for Alex Hormozy, where people get upset about the result they got from the action they didn't take, this kind of idea. I think just starting, and it's what we're talking about, failure and stuff, throwing shit at the wall. Something that I wish I did when I was younger is start many more things. Although I was, you know, kind of solely focused on the social media management side of things, I wish I started many different business models. I learned from many different things. I know this because I speak to my friends where they're stuck in this idea of like, oh, I have a cool idea, like a design agency and stuff like this. I'm like, do it. Yeah, but it's not ready yet. Like, I have to come up with this concept and stuff like that. Just start. See what happens along the way, because a lot of people are waiting for everything to be aligned, everything's perfect, and then you can click go, you can produce. Just start doing and allow it to kind of unravel itself. So whatever idea you have, whatever kind of thought you have, oh, I could start this agency, I'm going to go in all of this skill, just start, just do it, and stay consistent with it. And again, these are such vague points, but I think they are said so much because they are so true.
And also because they're so hard for people to actually do. They're said a lot and they resonate because I think everyone would like to start. Everyone would like to be consistent, but people are too scared to. So the minute somebody, I think it needs a lot of reinforcement, because for most people, they still haven't started and they still haven't been consistent, because they're very difficult for us to do.
It seems so easy, right? It's like, yeah, I could do that. That's fine. But when it comes to 3 weeks later, 2 months later, 3 months later, and then
when it's
the
not working,
on you,
and when it's failing, and when you're struggling and you're bored,
that's when your grit comes into place. It's like, how much do you really want this? And that's where you have to kind of keep pushing forward. But it is all just starting from that start, regardless what idea you have, what kind of thought comes into your head of like, this could be good, that problem needs solving, start solving it. When I went into that first restaurant with my little planner, I made it on like Canva, like a little package, and I laminated it. I went in, I had no preparation. I had no idea what I was going to say. I had a little notebook that I was writing some stuff down in, but I just went in and I went, hi, have you got a manager here I can speak to? Most awkward thing I've ever done in my life. But I just did it because I thought, even if nothing comes out of it, at least I know where I can improve on my like speech or the way I present it and stuff like that, and I'll find another restaurant. So just start doing and see what comes out along the way, and produce. A lot of it is produce. I think everything that I've done since I started is produce content, produce different ideas and stuff. I mean, I talk about a lot the difference between producers and consumers. There's some people that will just scroll on TikTok. There's some people that will make TikToks, and it's the producers that make the money, and then the consumers that help the producers make the money. So start making something, whether it's an idea, whether it's a video, whatever it is, just start doing, and stuff will unravel over time. And like constant adaptation as well. A lot of people will post the same TikTok video 500 times over, which I think is like Einstein's definition of insanity, doing something over and over again and it's not working. So constantly adapt and see, that video, it was okay, but I didn't like it that much, so where can you adapt on it? And that's I think the same with business, right? It's like we're talking about the influencer marketing thing, you have to adapt to the new wave and stuff like that, as per to just keep doing what you started doing, because one day it will work, one day it will click, and that kind of thing. So yeah, produce, adapt, and just get started. The most vague things possible, but some people need to hear it, I think.
Well, Cam, thank you very much for
thank
coming
you for
on
having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Great. So that was Callum Carver. What an inspirational and wise young man. I sound really patronizing, but he's only 20 years old and the life he's had, the things that he's doing is incredibly inspirational. I think we all need to take a little bit of his insight and his brilliance into our own lives, because somebody like him who's just gone out and got it at such a young age is really rare these days, and it's so impressive to see. So thank you so much for listening to Unboxed. And if you want more insight from me, make sure to check out my newsletter, One Last Thing. But we'll see you again next week. Make sure to like, comment and subscribe, and we'll be back on Wednesday.